Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Debbie Rowley.
You're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast for people who play with needles. We've got to get a plug in here for the Dayton, Ohio chapter of the Embroiderers Guild of America. That fits on a business card, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, you could abbreviate it to the Dayton, Ohio chapter of the EGA, but then you'd have to spend all your time explaining what
right.
EGA means because
right.
nobody knows what it means.
That's right.
Might as well put it on there.
So they're having their 2019 symposium. You know, this is a thing where if I had nothing but time and money, I could easily spend an entire year going to events.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dayton's not that far for you.
I know. 7 or 8 hour drive. I could be there. I know.
Yeah.
2 days of travel, 2 days there. Yep. That's where the nothing but time part comes in.
Well, there is that. There is that. Yeah. But, you know, reading the description that you sent to me, it sounds absolutely fascinating. I'm sitting there going, I wonder if I could work that into my schedule.
Yeah, this is tempting. I have to say, this is tempting. This is almost worth the drive, maybe even be worth the drive.
Yeah.
So their symposium is The Work of Our Hands, Then and Now. It's April 10 in Kettering, Ohio. I have to look up where that's at, but Kettering, Ohio. And they're Their main speaker is well-known author, scholar, and lecturer, Kathleen Staples. And Kathleen will be giving 3 lectures in the morning to cover the then portion of The Work of Our Hands, Then and Now. And then
after. Now, that alone.
Yeah.
Be well worth the effort and the time. Because I'm fascinated by the history of embroidery. I don't know if she's going to cover embroidery, quilting, other forms of needlework, but you know, just I have a antique chatelaine of needlework tools that I treasure, and I hold this thing and I think about the people who used those tools. And so hearing 3 lectures on the then, I think, would be so fascinating.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, and that's what fascinates and makes me enjoy reproduction samplers is, you know, the stitching is, yeah, whatever. But, I mean, it's X's, you know. But, and that's fun in its own way. Like last night I was working on my reproduction sampler while watching TV, and it was just perfectly relaxing. And, but it's the history.
Yeah.
And the people who study that history and all the things they're able to find out is just amazing to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those little girls and the schools and yeah, when you get to the tools, mm-hmm. like, you know, like your collection there, just amazing, those tools. And I'm sure those kinds of things are passed down, you know, through generations. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, they're not that different from the tools we use.
No.
And so that we're still using the same kinds of tools, doing the same kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, we're all participating in the history. But
yeah.
Anyway, enough of the philosophy.
That's just it. I mean, our needles are smoother.
Right.
But
our scissors may be a little bit more finely crafted, yeah. or not. I don't know.
Yeah, some of those old ones are pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, my chatelaine has a thimble and a needle and a pair of scissors and a bodkin. Do you know what a bodkin is?
No, I do not.
A bodkin is like a pair of tweezers with a little lock on it that you would use to pull something through a casing, like elastic through a waistband, except they wouldn't be doing elastic through a waistband. But that's what a bodkin is used for. And an awl to make little holes for mm-hmm. making eyelets and things like that. And it's all in this beautiful little parquet wood case. It's velvet
Ooh.
Lined and everything's really pretty.
Ooh, the parquet wood now. See,
mm-hmm.
fine finished wood. Boy, that gets my full attention. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So that's going to be Kathleen Staples is going to talk about the history. And then in the afternoon, their speakers will address the now. That follows the logic. Pam Geisel, who is a local art quilter, will talk about quilts and how she dreams them up. Terry Owen, a local shop owner, will discuss sustainable dyeing of fibers and fabrics along with running a woman-owned business. Then they have Mary Ann Sakar, or Saker, S-A-K-A-R, and Sharon Fields. Now, this would be good. A physical therapist, yes, and occupational therapist. So Mary Ann Sakar is the physical, and Sharon Fields is the occupational therapist, will present Stitch Without a Glitch, discussing how to prevent stitching injuries now and make adaptations for the future as we get to be older stitchers. That, I think, you know, I think if everyone had one of those presentations a year, everybody's shoulders and arms and wrists would be in better shape.
Well, that too. And, you know, I wonder if they're going to address any of the therapeutic benefits of stitching, because I derive a lot of therapeutic benefit from stitching. You know, my hand hurts on occasion, my shoulder hurts on occasion, but, you know, monthly massages help take care of that. But just there's something about pulling the needle through the canvas and the thread following the needle and, you know, to get into the rhythm of stitching. And there's just something so satisfying and stress releasing about that activity all on its own.
Yep. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. So, all right. Well, so let me finish this up then. So I'll have a link on the page for this podcast, but their website, ega-dayton.webs.com/DaytonSymposium.htm. If you can remember that. So ega-dayton.webs.com/DaytonSymposium.htm. I'll just put a link on the page for this and you can click. It'll be easier.
Yeah. Do you know if you have to be a member of the EGA? I mean, not necessarily that chapter, but a member of EGA anywhere in order to attend the symposium? Or
do not know.
I'm sure that they're, you know, if they're making it public, they're welcoming guests.
Yeah. Do not know. And, you know, and a good podcaster would have gone to the link and looked it up and studied it, you know, and
well, if you meet a good podcaster, let me know. Okay.
Yeah. So that, you know, that's what, you know, a good one would have done, but me, no, I just took what she sent and said, we'll talk about it.
Well, I'm sure the information will be on the website, how to register and if you need to be a member of EGA or not, if you can register as a guest, because, you know, a lot of times a chapter will have a class. Yeah. And if you're a member of EGA, it's one price. And if you're not a member of EGA, it's another price.
Yes.
Although I can't imagine why wouldn't you be a member of EGA or ANG? I just, you get beautiful magazines. You know, you have access to all kinds of information with both groups. I can't imagine why you wouldn't be a member. You wouldn't have to join a chapter. You could be a member at large, but I just, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I am not an EGA member. Just haven't gotten around to it.
Right.
They do a good magazine, huh?
Oh yeah. Their magazine is, to me, A&G's Needle Pointers is more, you know, there's a lot of projects and here's how to do this stitch and here's these new products and things like that. The EGA magazine, it seems to me, is a little more artistic and they cover more, there are projects in it, but it's more of, you know, they do a designer profile and this is this designer and this is how she's working or he, and it seems to be more as, have a different aesthetic than Needle Pointers. And so both are of value because the EGA magazine seems to be, it's like Inspirations.
Yeah.
You know, where you look at these projects and you may not ever want to do them, but you see what's possible. And so they do a lot of, you know, fiber arts. In fact, that's the name of the magazine is Fiber Arts. And it has more of an artistic feel to it than a practical feel.
Hmm. That interests me. Hmm. All right. Yeah, I just have never gotten around to paying the fee.
Well, you know, and there is that. And I understand that people need to be judicious about how they're going to spend their stitching dollars. But to me, belonging to the two national organizations is well worth it.
Yep. Yep. Now, speaking of Inspirations, I just got the most recent Inspirations magazine just the other day. Yeah. Opened, took it out of the bag, sat down in the recliner, put my feet up. Yeah. And that you're well, right. You're right. A lot of those you'd never do.
Right.
But
it's
just
interesting
fun.
To see what other people have done with needle and thread. And you're going, oh, my gosh, I didn't even realize this was possible.
Right. Right. Not only possible, but to do it so beautifully. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You think, oh, these people must not have a life where they have to fix dinner or do laundry or, you know, pick up after their dogs or stuff, you know.
Yeah. Some of those people, I just want to sit and watch.
Oh, I'd love to watch them.
You know, just give me 2 hours. I just want to watch. We don't even have to talk. Just want to watch. How do you construct that?
Yeah.
How do you even figure out how to construct that? Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because I watch stitchers a lot when I'm teaching.
Right, right.
And every stitcher is different. I mean, some of them are really fast. Some of them are very slow and methodical. The last class I taught, there was one of my stitchers was so slow. Like, can't you go a little bit faster? I mean, you'll get a lot more done if you can stitch. But, you know, just because I stitch fast doesn't mean that's the only way to stitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, to me, it's interesting to watch and see how other stitchers do things. And I do learn from my students, and I find that interesting as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure you get to see all types in even in one class.
Oh, yeah.
The full gamut. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be fun to watch. Yeah. But yeah, some of these people who do projects for inspirations, just let me watch you for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then and then the questions would start to flow. And then I wouldn't leave them alone. So
they'd kick
me
out.
Oh,
then there wouldn't be any stitching. They'd be going like, I got to go. Yeah.
You've
got to go.
Yeah,
so
you've
got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go.
Don't you have an appointment or something? Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah.
So talk to me about massages. You say you get massage for your arms?
I get a monthly massage, 90 minutes, because everything I do, I'm in the same position. And I get knots and cramping in my back and shoulder, particularly on my right side, because my computer work, I'm in the same position as I am when I'm stitching.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you are doing it for a long period of time, the muscles don't properly have a chance to relax. And I don't take the time to do exercises and relax and everything. So I have been, probably for 3 or 4 years going once a month, getting a massage. And let me tell you, my massage therapist works me over. but it's a help, to get those muscles to loosen up a little bit. And it does help because, you know, I can tell it's been about a month and my shoulder's feeling kind of tight and I've got this knot between my shoulder and my backbone. And so I know that she's going to be driving her elbow into that.
Ouch.
And, you know, and she does a great job and I really appreciate it. And when we moved, I say, I'm going to miss my team. I have a team. My husband laughs about it. I have a woman that does my manicures and, you know, I go twice a month and get manicures and, you know, an extravagance. People look at my hands all the time.
Yes. Yes. No, I've thought about that.
You
that,
might yeah. look at my hands and never notice, but the women in my classes look at my hands. They notice what color my nail polish is, if it's chipped, if I have ragged cuticles, they notice. And so it is beneficial to me as a professional to get my nails done twice a month. And the IRS does not view this as business deduction. Okay, fine, whatever. I'm still doing it.
Yeah, I've thought about that many times when you or any of you make videos and show how to do stitches.
Yeah.
Your fingers, your nails, you talk about prominent. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, and the when I do my videos for a class, I might do them at different times. And so my nails might be different colors. And you would be amazed at how many times my students comment on the nail color.
Uh-huh.
Not just the shape. And, you know, if they look like they're halfway decent that I haven't been out, you know,
changing oil,
changing the oil or, you know, digging in the dirt. But, you know, they comment on the color of the polish as well. And so I think plus if my hands are in good condition. I don't snag threads as easily. So, that, you know, there is that. So anyway, my accountant and I have gone over and over this. And I was like, I don't know why it's not a business expense.
Yeah, you got to find a medical angle to that.
I don't know why it's not a business expense. And she says, well, the IRS doesn't consider it a business expense. I said, you know what? All they'd have to do is look at one of my videos and go, yeah, the manicure is a business expense. But anyway, we won't get into that. I pay for it. I'm willing to pay for it. I'm happy to pay for it. Whether it's deductible or not, I'm still going to do it. So I have my manicurist. I have my massage therapist that I see once a month. And I have my hairdresser that I see once a month. And I've seen my hairdresser for 23 years. So all of the women, all of the women who are listening to this are going to be going, oh my God, because when I move, I'm going to have to find a new hairdresser.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you don't, my husband, you know, she does my husband's hair as well, what there is of it. And anyway,
oh, that was cheap. That was cheap. On behalf of Rod, that was cheap.
So men don't really get this. But when you find someone who knows how to do your hair, to cut it the way you want it, to color it the way you want it, and to do that consistently month over month over month, replacing that person is a challenge.
Yeah, I suppose you have to go test some.
Yeah, and there was a period of time when my hairdresser actually moved away for about 6 to 7 months. The condition of my hair during the time she was gone, I went to 3 or 4 different salons. I couldn't find anybody who could do my hair the way I wanted it done, or I didn't like the atmosphere in the salon. It just on and on. Anyway, when she moved back and called and said that she was back in town, I was like, I need an appointment right now. Can you see me today?
Fix this mess.
So when I moved to Elk City, a town of about 15,000, finding someone to do my hair and my nails and a massage therapist that I like, that will work with me, that will have the right atmosphere. You know, there's some salons you go to, it's just a hotbed of gossip. And I'm not into that.
Mm.
You know, I like talking to the person who's doing my hair. I don't want to hear about everything else that's going on. So, you know, the women that are listening to this go, what on earth does this have to do with stitching? But they get it, because everybody I've told that I'm moving, I'm leaving my hairdresser, they go, oh!
The end of the world is upon us.
The end of the world is upon us. So no telling what I'm going to look like. But my hairdresser and I have a plan that right before I move, she's going to do my hair. We're going to take pictures of it from every angle. So I will have, I don't know if you've watch The Big Bang Theory and Sheldon.
Oh, yeah.
His haircut record.
Yes.
I will have a haircut record.
Yes, Sheldon's haircut record. Yeah. That's all of his files.
Then
yes.
I can go to the new hairdresser and say, this is what I want my hair to look like.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, the barber who has his files.
Yes, the barber who has his files. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's all of that. You add all that up, that is pretty significant. It's not just moving to a new house. It's
Yeah. It, you know, new grocery, new doctor, new dentist, new.
Yeah. Yeah, and to get into doctors and dentists anymore, geez.
Yeah, yeah.
Not easy.
Yeah. Well, and then further restrict the pool of available people.
Yeah, and that's the other part,
15,000.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah,
traumatic.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, those kinds of things are just kind of unsettling, because that's part of your daily base, your daily foundation. Yeah,
exactly.
Is that
exactly?
Yeah.
And you know, currently where I am, I have a fabulous needlework shop. There will not be a needlework shop, and I run into the shop 2 or 3 times a week.
Oh.
And
they're gonna miss you.
I'm going to miss them. So, and you know, I have an A&G group. I actually have 2 A&G groups that I meet with once a month. And then I've got an EGA group that I meet once a month. And so to not have these people to stitch with is yet another challenge that will have to be overcome.
Yeah. Ooh, that is good. You are really upsetting the apple cart here. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how it all goes. You know, the contractor says the house will be ready in March. I kind of doubt it. So, you know.
Seen that movie.
Yeah, it'll be ready when it's ready. I mean, they have to put in two septic systems. The septic's not even dug yet. And they have to do the septic before the sheetrock and the plumber and the cabinet maker and on and on and on. So, yeah.
And it's the first week of February. So, yeah, this is not happening.
Well, the ground's not frozen out there.
But still, just sheer time.
Yeah, just time. Yeah. So, yeah. So we'll see how it goes.
Yep.
Hopefully I will make a teaching. So starting in April, I'm gone a week, home a week, gone a week, home a week. Until September.
Mm.
And trying to fit in a move and, you know, do the videos, classes, and put class kits together and all that other kind of stuff. Well, all this. Yeah. Yeah.
There will be no boredom in your life.
No, there will not be.
Nope. Oh, man.
So that's, we'll get through it.
So that's a lot of teaching. So you really have a full schedule going this year.
Yeah, I think I've got 12 or 13 engagements this year, which is great. And I want to be that busy. I don't know that I would want to be busier than that, but, you know, that's good.
Yeah. So are most of these are 3-4 day events then?
Two or three.
Total time.
Yeah, two or three. I think there's a couple that are 4 day. Yeah.
No. Oh. Okay. So not bad. Not bad.
No, not bad. It's not like, oh, you know, I need to pack a bag and be gone for 2 weeks. Right. So.
No, I mean, I look at it from my perspective because that's how I keep sanity with my travel is I'm only gone 2 days. I'm only gone three. You know, it's
right.
Not, but
then
it,
I'm
but
home.
It, yeah. Yeah. But it does disrupts the week.
It does.
Yeah.
And most of mine are on the weekend. I mean, that's when people can take classes. So that's when I teach classes is on the weekends.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I've always been of the mind that if I'm going to travel, if I'm doing it on a semi-regular basis, it's fine. If I'm home for a length of time and then have to start traveling, it's really hard to get back in that mode.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the way teaching has worked out for me is I'm busy from like April through September, but then October to March, I'm home, which is really good because I need that time to new designs and go through proposals and things like that because most proposals like for EGA and ANG National are due January, February.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have that time to think and to design and to stitch is really beneficial. And then,
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, you need that downtime. Like this past fall, I was gone. Jeez, it was just ridiculous, the number of weeks. And you get to that point where it needs to stop because at home, I have to get caught up.
Right. And there's always things that you have to do at home. You know, there's this that has to be done. There's that has to be done. You know, and it's really hard when you're home a week, gone a week, home a week, gone a week to get those kinds of things taken care of.
Yeah. But then you still get to go teach needlework, which is
it's
fun. Yes.
And I get to meet charming, lovely people and have a great time. Everyone says, oh, do you get to sightsee?
No.
Not so much.
No,
no,
no.
The sights that I see are from the airport to the venue and then from the venue back to the airport.
Yep.
Those are the sights that I see.
Yep. Oh, that's the great misconception about business travel, no matter what the business is.
Yes.
Is because.
You get to see all these. Yeah, I get to see the airport.
Yeah. It's like earlier this week, I was in Orlando. And a couple weeks prior, somebody was complaining about the Chicago weather. And you traveling any? I said, yeah, I'm going to Orlando first week in February. oh, at least you'll be in warm weather. I'll never notice.
Yeah, no.
I'll notice when I go from the taxi cab to the airport. Yeah, that'll
right.
be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never get to see that stuff. And,
no.
And that's the other thing is, you know, I often think I could extend a trip a day or two, but I've got the paying job I got to get back to, and I just want to go home. So,
well, exactly. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I have planned trips where I was a day before or a day after at the venue with the intention of doing sightseeing, but my buddy was not with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't have the heart for it.
Yep.
And so, you know, Rod and I are talking when he retires from his full-time job of him possibly going with me and, you know, I can go and teach and then we can stay a day or two and visit some of the things in these venues. Now that I'm looking forward to because it'll be like little mini vacations scattered throughout the year, but I'll have my buddy with me to go sightseeing with.
Right. Right. Yeah. Cause it really takes extra mental or physical discipline to just go do a sightseeing thing by yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've been married a long time too. And, you know, that's my half.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
And nothing is as fun without my half.
Yep. That's so true. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. No, I agree. No, I've been many places, you know, where I've had, all right, I've got a half a day where I just had to get there today because I got to be ready first thing in the morning. So I have a half a day. Nah, just forget it. I'll just sit here in the hotel room.
I'll just sit here. Yeah.
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 Never mind.
Yeah. So the one time I tried this, I was in San Antonio, which I had been to before, and I'm walking around and the whole time I'm thinking, oh, Rod needs to come back with me so we can go to blah, blah, or I wish Rod was here.
Yeah.
And finally I went, you know what? This is ridiculous. Why am I planning extra time for sightseeing and stuff when all I can think about is I want Rod to come and be with me?
Yeah. Yep. So never mind.
Never mind. I'll just arrive in time to be fresh and on first thing in the morning and leave when it's over. So,
yep. It's the way it works.
Yep.
It's the way it works. So, okay. So next Sunday, our guest is Anne Marie Anderson Mays of Beautiful Stitches, and she's in Perth, Australia.
Oh, okay.
And I don't remember how I ran into her, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Just fascinating. So she's in Australia, but I remember because I follow her on my Feedly news feed.
Okay.
And so I was anxious to talk to you about this because she wrote a little article in her blog and the headline obviously caught my eye. I am an embroidery teacher, but I don't really teach embroidery. Okay. I got to know. So it sucked me right in. And then the minute I read that, then I contacted her to see if she'd do a show. So she's going to do a show, but
wonderful.
Yes. But I wanted to know what you thought because Her thing is, that's not strictly accurate. Of course I teach embroidery, but it's not the most important part of my job description. What I actually teach is confidence. And I thought that was a pretty good statement. And I wondered how you felt about that when you're teaching. Is there a lot of confidence? Because, you know, I see that a lot in posts all over the place where people are, somebody the other day literally said, I'm going from Ida to linen and I'm scared to death. And to me, it's like, well, why? But I know a lot of people have this confidence, this fear seems extreme, but there's just nervousness about this. Do you see that?
I do. And I agree with Anne Marie that one of the things, okay, so, you know, I mostly teach counted canvas work and my diagrams are, bring the needle up at one, put the needle down at two, bring the needle up at three, put the needle down at four. You don't need me. Okay. I try to make my diagrams and my instructions good enough that you don't need me.
Oh, okay? Yes, we do, Debbie. Yes, we do desperately.
Well, you know, I'm not going home with anybody to help them finish their project.
Right.
And one of the things that I encounter over and over and over again are stitchers who have this fear that they're not doing it right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's break this down and look at this. What is the worst thing that could happen if you don't do a stitch right?
You just tear it out.
Is the economy going to collapse?
Yeah.
Is somebody going to die? You know, no, not, it's thread on fabric. It's inconsequential. It is totally inconsequential. Okay.
And where does that come from? Where does that come from? That if I put this needle in here and pull it back up here, that becomes permanent. And if I did it wrong, the end of the world.
Well, I don't know. I am blessed with an abundance of self-confidence. Okay. I taught myself how to do heart honor. I went to a stitching group. They were doing heart honor. I said, oh, that looks so cool. We took a class. I said, could I take the class? They said, well, no, the class is over. Here's the book. And it was Janice Love's Heart Honor Basics or Basics and Beyond or something like that. I don't remember. I took the book home. I got a piece of cloth and I taught myself how to do it. I taught myself how to do a double fan doubled. I had no one show me how to do that. I had Gene Hilton's instructions. Uh-huh. I got a piece of doodle cloth and a piece of pearl cotton and I worked it out. And so I'm not afraid to tackle anything. It's just thread. Okay. Most of the time we've got $5 invested in a project.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if you think about it, let's say that you want to learn how to do a particular stitch, get you a piece of doodle cloth, a canvas or fabric or whatever it is you want to work with, pearl cotton or cotton floss, and go for it. But what I find is a lot of people do not have confidence in themselves. They question their ability. They question their decision making. They question their technique. They question so many things. And I don't know where this comes from because I don't. And so it's difficult for me to understand the self-doubt.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who have it. And I'm really puzzled by this because all stitching is done one stitch at a time. Every bit of it. Okay. There is no one who stitches, even the most beautiful stitcher with the most outrageous technique, who does it more than one stitch at a time. Right?
And if they do, you want to meet them.
Well, I'd love to meet them because they're an alien or something. So it's one stitch at a time. You bring the needle up at one. The needle goes down at two. Okay, I put it in the wrong spot. Okay, well, take it out. Try again. It's not... I really see where Emery is coming from because a large part of what I do in my classes is I cheerlead. Oh, you got that. That's exactly right. Look at you. And one of the things that I stress in my classes is let's look at the structure of the stitch and the technique of the stitch and see if we can do it without looking at the diagram.
Mm-hmm.
Because the canvas, and I tell them this over and over again, especially with something like a double fan doubled or a double fan, the canvas will show you what you need to do, where the thread needs to go under and over. If you will look at the canvas instead of the book, because when you shift your attention from the diagram to the canvas, from the diagram to the canvas, it's really easy to lose your place, to not realize where you are. And then you have to backtrack and figure it out. And you know, you were going clockwise and then all of a sudden you shift and you start going counterclockwise. And if you could keep your attention focused on your canvas and just do what's on your canvas, you'll stitch a lot faster and with more accuracy. And so in my last class, my students were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 4-day class. Most of them had 2/3 of the project finished before they left. Because they weren't spending a whole lot of time looking at the diagram.
Yep.
And so, you know, to have that confidence that, you know, and I've had other students tell me they learned how to do a waffle stitch in my class. And now when they see a waffle stitch, oh, got this. And they just, you know, they can stitch a gazillion waffle stitches in a half hour.
Yep.
Because they don't have to look at the book. They know how to do it. And so that is always my goal as a teacher is let's look at how this stitch is structured. How can we break this down? How can we break down the technique so that you don't spend a lot of time looking at, oh, the needle came up at one and goes down at two, and this is the direction it needs to go. Instead, develop a rhythm so that you can stitch a lot faster and you'll enjoy it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was long ago I made that leap. I'm sure it was a Jessica stitch. Mm-hmm. Was why do I keep looking back? It's mm-hmm. the same every time.
Right. The stitches are adjacent to each other.
Right. And so just keep going around the circle. And,
right.
And yeah, when you get to the first stitch, then you start going under. And,
right.
And then to do a Jessica becomes really nothing then. It's just.
Right.
Yeah.
It you know how to do it. You know the structure of it. You know the technique of it. You can do a Jessica any shape, any size. All you need to do is to look and see what's the angle of the first stitch and then just go from there.
Right. And they have a rhythm.
They do have a rhythm.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. And if you just get into that and it's a forcing, you got to force yourself, just force yourself,
yes.
Put the chart away. Yeah. And like you said, just trust the canvas and just go. Yep.
And just go. And all of my students that are able to make this transition learn that they find that they enjoy their stitching more. They're making fewer mistakes. They're stitching a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that I think is because then you get momentum going.
Yes. Then you get momentum going and, you know, okay, I know how to do this waffle stitch. Oh, look, there's five of them in a row. Boom, 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 boom.
Yep. Done.
Okay. Next.
Yeah. And then the project is trotting along and the enthusiasm grows.
Yeah.
And yes.
Yeah, because everybody who left the class that I just taught where they had so much done on their project were like, I'm going to go home and finish this.
Right. Yeah, because you can see an end. Yes, yes.
Yeah, because you can say, oh, I only have to do this, this, and this, and it'll be finished.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh.
There we go. There we go. The kids are home.
It's trash day.
Oh, okay.
Well, spirit touch.
Yeah, we got to scare away the garbage truck.
Yes, yes. Well, or, you know, any birds that fly over the yard or, you know, airplanes flying overhead, that's an airspace violation. That must be vigorously barked.
Airspace violation.
I swear, one of these days you'll get to meet my dogs. And Misty is our female, and she will be running in the backyard, leaping at the sky, barking at airplanes.
Excellent. That's going to work.
And thunder.
Oh, she doesn't cower. She goes after it, huh?
Oh, no. She goes after it.
Excellent.
And then we call spirits or Barky McBarkerson because he just, you know, when she starts barking, he starts barking. But, you know, he's barking from inside the safety of the house. He'll let Misty go out and investigate the issue. And if there's a real problem, then she can take care of it. And he'll join her moral support from inside the house.
You go take the bullets. I'll stay here.
Okay, exactly. Good. Exactly. So.
Excellent. Yep. So, yeah, so that was just interesting from Anne-Marie because it really hit it on the head, I thought.
It does. And, you know, if I could impart to all of my students, it would be to have confidence in what you're doing. You do not need my approval because I do have some students that every stitch they put in, I have to approve of.
Mm.
And this is, it can be very tiresome because I just want to tell them, look, you're doing it beautifully. You've got it. You don't need me to tell you, you've got it. You've got it.
Yeah.
Have confidence in yourself to look at it and go, does this look like the picture in the diagram? Yes, it does. Okay, go. Keep going.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and I walk around and I look at their canvases as they're stitching and everything. And if I see a problem, I will point it out to them.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't, I just, you're doing a great job. Keep going, you know, excellent. You've got this, you know? And so I would say 90% of what I do in class is cheerlead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, for people who do not have an overabundance of self-confidence like me, they need that affirmation. Okay, I'm happy to provide the affirmation.
Yeah.
But I would also like for them to be able to self-affirm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, when it comes to your designs, they can look intimidating on the surface.
Yeah, but you they're all done one stitch at a time. Right, everything is one stitch at a time.
And I think people, I would guess that people come to class saying, this is a new level for me.
Oh,
this
yeah,
is,
they do.
Yeah, this
I've
is a
never
new
done
challenge.
This kind of stitch before. I took this class because I wanted to learn how to do this stitch. Then I'm happy to help them with that.
But it's still, it's just one at a time. Yeah. But it's
one at a time.
But that's, you know, I think there might, and I mean, not just your designs, but anybody who's trying something new, that is that breaking new ground. And so you got to get over that. But,
yeah.
But still, it's putting the needle in this hole and bringing it up this hole is really all it is. It's just which holes and when. Yeah.
You know, and I guess I'm really aware of this kind of thing because we struggled with this with both of our children, that if they couldn't be the best at whatever it was, they didn't even want to attempt it.
Oh.
So Rod and I decided that as an example and a model for them, we would let them see us trying things and not succeeding. Mm. I don't want to say failing because it's always a learning experience. But you know what? I've never done this before. I'm going to try it. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. And so now both of our, you know, our adult children seem to be fairly confident in themselves because we worked on this when they were children.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to try something. And you don't have to be the best at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do kind of put that in the culture. You know, did you get
we
an
do.
A? Did you get an
did
A?
Did you get an A?
No.
Or did you kick a goal? Or did you, you know, score a touchdown? Or, you know, did you jump higher than everybody else? You know, no. And this is one of the things, you know, with my daughter, she played soccer and she was an okay soccer player. She was on her high school team, but she wasn't the best. And she was complaining because the coach didn't put her in as much as she thought she should play. And I said, okay, let's look at this. Are you the best player on the team? No.
Mm-hmm.
Are you playing to the best of your ability? Yes. Do you enjoy playing? Do you enjoy the activity? Do you enjoy the practices, traveling with the team? Yes. So you need to make a decision. Do you want to continue doing this, knowing I'm not the best person on the team, but I can make a contribution? Or do you want to quit?
Mm-hmm.
And she decided that she would stay on the team and she would make the contributions that she could make and she would enjoy it.
Yeah. And there you go. Yep.
And there you go. Okay. So
positive comes out of that. Yes.
Yeah. Am I a fiber artist? I don't really consider myself a fiber artist when I look and see what some other people are doing. Okay. But I'm making a contribution. I enjoy what I do. I hopefully am teaching people to have confidence in their stitching and to try new things and to attempt new things. And so I will continue doing what I do. If I come to the point where I feel like I'm not making a contribution, then I'll quit.
Mm-hmm.
And am I the very best that ever was? No. I can easily name a lot of people who are a lot better than I am, but I can make a contribution, so I will.
Yeah, and isn't that true in anything?
Yeah.
No matter how good you are, there's always 10 people who are better, always.
Exactly. You know, when you look at a choir, okay.
Yeah.
A choir is not made up of the best individual singers. A choir is made up of people who blend together.
Yes.
Okay. Not who are individual singers standing out and trying to be picked out as an individual.
Oh, yeah, because then that's not a choir.
It's not a choir.
That's a soloist with a backup group. Yeah, it's different.
Right. Yeah. And that's different. And so, do I have to be the very best singer in the world in order to participate in a choir?
No, but the effort is, can you blend and be part of a body? Yes.
That's right. And so I don't have to be the best.
Right.
And I can still make a contribution. Yeah. And so, you know, I think a lot of people are just, they get really hung up on doubting their own abilities. I have met very few people who absolutely could not stitch
mm-hmm.
or follow a diagram. in of all the people, there's two that I've encountered.
Just couldn't do it.
Just, I don't know what the issue was. It just, there was, I don't know. I don't know what the issue was.
Yeah.
But everybody else in the class got it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, have fun.
Yeah. Well, I think that's interesting, the questions you asked your daughter. Are you the best? No. But all the other things, yes. Okay, yeah. Then you got all but one, and there's only going to be one person who's the best. So dig in and have some fun. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, enjoy it. View it as I'm exercising, I'm contributing, I'm having a good time, I'm outside.
Yep. Good friends,
all
learning
of those
something.
Are
positive. Yeah.
All of those are positives.
Yep.
You don't have to be the best.
Yep. We win. We all celebrate together. Yeah. All those things. Yep.
Just exactly.
Go enjoy yourself. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep. So, okay. Well, there we have it. Yeah. I just thought that was, that was just an interesting statement.
It is. Yeah. And I appreciate her take on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I'm anxious to, haven't, when we're recording this, haven't recorded with her yet, but I'm most anxious to hear her talk about that too.
Yes.
In the Australian accent, which of course you can listen to all day long. Yes,
absolutely.
Big plus
absolutely.
There.
Yes.
Yep. All right. We're going to call it right there, Debbie.
Okay.
Confidence. Dig in, enjoy it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And ask yourself, what's the worst thing that could happen if I don't do this right?
Yeah. Isn't that is really it, isn't it? Yep.
Yeah. I mean, let's look at the consequences if I don't do this right. I will have wasted 10 cents worth of thread.
Oh, darn.
Okay. Well, okay. I wasted 10 cents worth of thread.
They Move make on. It every day.
That's right. There's plenty of places to go get more.
Yep.
And, you know, and just move on and don't be afraid to tackle something. I mean, pick up the fabric and cut holes in it if you want to.
Yep.
See where it takes you.
Yep. All right, Debbie, thank you. Thanks to everybody
thank
for
you.
Listening. And Anne-Marie Anderson-Mays will be with us on Sunday.
Okay, excellent.